No, 20 minutes is... But it's so nice to be in the house of the Lord, always, even when it's sunny. Jealous of those people who are out camping. Not yesterday, though. Did you hear that thunder?
Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday I was quite glad to be inside and not outside. Poor grads. I think they got rained on. Anyways, one thing we do want to say is Happy Father's Day. And I know Juanita's said it, but, you know, as a church, we want to always recognize the fathers in the house. We want to recognize the mothers in the house. We always want to recognize those of you that maybe you're not a father or a mother, but you have deep impact in people's lives beyond a blood relation. And that's an important part and a piece to play as well. And we always want to celebrate. We know that you fathers, you do a great deal. And sometimes it's not always the physical looking after the children part, but you do a lot of things that show God's grace to your children, to your families. And we want to always say thank you. We want to recognize you. And I believe we also have a gift of appreciation for you after. So we want to make sure that you stick around and receive one. Also stick around for lunch. Apparently there's some food. I can smell it. Can you smell it? Smells good. So we always want to celebrate together. And as I was working on my sermon, as you can see, we're on episode 10 in the book of, in the letter to the Colossians, and talking about the greatest impact. And as I was thinking about that, my mind wandered, as it sometimes does, and it wandered to the Lord of the Rings. How many people know the Lord of the Rings? Have you seen it? Who hasn't? Wow. There's some shade from John. But, you know, once a year I like to watch through these movies, because there's these themes that come out of the movie. And, I mean, I just love a good movie where the good guys win. And yet there's a real struggle, but they win at the end. And this year I wanted to do it on Thanksgiving, because we do it every Thanksgiving. And I said it to the kids, and they said, "Not this year, Dad." I know, I was so... Okay. But anyway. But you know why I love this movie so much? Frodo Baggins. He's a hero, and he's nothing special. You think about hobbits. They're not super strong. They don't have a lot of... You know which one's Frodo? Let's just see. That's Frodo. No. That was Frodo. And, you know, Frodo is not strong. He doesn't have deadly accuracy with a bow and arrow. He can't handle a sword particularly well. He's not fast. He's not a fast runner. He has little tiny short legs. And yet him and Sam, they sort of carry the day. They have a deep impact on the story and the world that they live in. Hobbits are probably the most unlikely of hero. And yet the world is saved by two hobbits from the Shire, who did what needed to be done, and they stuck together. Gandalf said this, "My dear Frodo, hobbits are really amazing characters. You can learn all there is to know about them in their ways in a month, and yet after 100 years, they can still surprise you." And I love that quote from Gandalf. He cared about these hobbits. He spent a lot of time with hobbits and came to understand that they can still surprise you after all of these years and all this time. And you know, after 18 years of pastoring, I can tell you, your church congregation can surprise you. You know, so often we think it's these... You know, there's these singular people who can do great things for God. Maybe it's Brian Dirksen and his guitar, or somebody who can speak and preach just a powerful message. But you know, one thing I've learned about the church congregations and the people of God over the years is that they can still surprise you. And I look out into our congregation and, you know, maybe you go, well, I'm not the smartest, I'm not the brightest, I'm not the quickest witted, I don't have the greatest strength. God can use you. And the people of God can actually have such a lasting effect on their families, on this world that we live in. You don't have to be the best speaker. You don't have to have the greatest voice. You don't even have to be the best dancer or anything. God can use you. And you might even surprise yourself. You know, one of the things I love to talk about is that, you know, as a father, you can make such a great impact by just being who you are and who God created you to be. Some of the things we're going to talk about today, you know, are directly applicable to fathers. Directly applicable to mothers, directly applicable to every person in this congregation, because one thing I know is that you can surprise even me. I can learn all the things, you can learn all there is to know about a church people in a month, and yet after 100 years, you can still be surprised. And I think about that. That is such a powerful, interesting quote. You know, we've been talking about a book in the book of all right. There we go. Breathe. If your brain starts to get ahead of you, you got to slow down. But we've been in the book of Colossians now, or the letter to the Colossians, for 2.5 months or 3 months. And what one of the things that we've learned and that we keep learning is that Jesus isn't done with you. And that Jesus is working on you, and Jesus wants to bubble out of you in all of the different avenues of life. You know, I love it when someone I wasn't expecting anything of surprises me. When someone starts to grow, shows ambition, it's so incredible when someone surprises you. And in the world of Christianity, one thing I've noticed is that it's the hobbits among us that often have the greatest kingdom impact. I mean, I knew some guys, I've talked about my Bible college days and some of the people I met in Bible college, and I thought, man, they're going to rock the world. And they're not pastoring, they're not doing what I totally expected them to do. The people who have the greatest kingdom impact, they follow kingdom principles. They follow Christ. You don't always have to have a microphone to impact the world for Jesus. You don't have to be a super Christian. And you know, this is something I've learned too. You don't have to fly off to Africa to have an impact for Jesus. Let's look at the letter of the Colossians and see the ways that all of us, whether you're a father, a mother, a friend, an uncle, an aunt, whatever you are, how you can have an impact. Let's look for Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. I know, cue the guilt and the self-judgment. I'm kidding. I know most of us Christians, though, we love to do better in our prayers, right? I think every one of us. But in chapter 4, Paul's getting towards the end of his communication with the Colossians. And he has a few things left to say. We've spent 9 Sundays looking through it. He's talked about how Jesus can help us in our marriages, in our workplace. How following Jesus is the key to everything that we will do and everything that we can be. And yet, in these next few verses, he talks about how the Colossians can help him in return. How they might have a great impact with their faith. The first thing he would tell you is that prayer is powerful. And I know, we talk about this all the time. How many times have I talked about prayer in the last 3 years? I feel like every other sermon is about prayer. But anyway, I was told this before, preach for what you're looking for. If you want to have prayer in the church, you got to speak about it. You got to talk about it, because that's what orients people. There's a number of convictions I have about prayers, and one of the convictions I have about prayer is that anyone can pray, and anyone can pray kingdom-shaking prayers. Do you know why I believe this? Because it's not so much about the person praying, it's the person who's listening. It's about him. As we pray, we're talking to a God who has power. A God who can make anything happen. This world, honestly, and I know sometimes we go this, oh, that just sounds so crazy. This world can be changed by one person meeting with God. I know that, doesn't that sound sort of like, no, but it's true. We know that there is a God who loves us and is powerful, and he can do big things when we involve him in our prayers. The honest truth is that if it gets too hard to stand, kneel. Such a quote. If you're going through tough times, prayer helps. God can make a way. Sometimes you go, I don't see a way forward. I don't know how. Just go to God. Just give it to him. I know this, that a lot of people over the world, a lot of people over the years have made such a huge impact in their world, and they didn't even know it was because they prayed. Because they gave God a chance. I found a few quotes that shaped this section on prayer. You see, one thing we've heard is that, and it's really a mind thing, is that prayer is powerful, but many of us haven't seen the fruit of it. We maybe haven't experienced those prayers' impact. But that's probably because we focus so much on the big things, the miracle we need, the financial blessing that's required, the healing, a job, a move, whatever it is, and we don't think about the everyday things that need God's attention. Corrie ten Boom said this, "Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden." Isn't that an interesting thought? You know, how many times do we complain about things? And we just let, you know, we're mad and we're frustrated. And instead of praying about it, we just complain about it. And the point is that if it's something that's, you know, causing you a little bit of agitation, to pray for it, give it to God. There's a lot of things we bellyache about. There's a lot of things that takes place space in our minds that don't need to be there. If it's concerning to you in any way, why not offer it to God? I know. When we see God operating and working in the midst of the small and the mundane, it builds our faith so that we can expect him to work in the large and the sometimes impossible. Now, some of you are saying, Pastor Matt, I haven't seen prayer do anything. Are you sure? You've been talking about prayer for years and I haven't seen anything come of it. How many people would say that? I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and I haven't seen anything happen. And you know what? I am sure that God can do anything. And I'm sure that as we devote ourselves to prayer, things do happen in the spiritual realm. What does the text say? It says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. There are three words in this verse that offer a great impact. The first word, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote, continue steadfastly, persevere, always make it a habit. Make it a practice every day, even all the time. Prayer becomes who you are. Even if there's something amiss, you pray. You pray all the time. Now you go, I don't have time. You know, the most impactful prayers are not, you know, two-minute diatribes between you and the Lord. The impactful prayers are, God, help me. God, I need you. God, this is too much to bear. Reveal yourself to me. Those are impactful prayers. And you know what? As we walk through our day, those are prayers we can each pray. What I see in a lot of believers is that a lack of devotion to pray. It's sort of the last resort instead of the first thing. You know, it's like we pray for our marriages when the marriages are on the rocks. You pray for your marriage all the time, and hopefully it doesn't get to that place of being on the rocks. Devotion. People who lead lives of impact are people who pray and they pray and they pray. And you know what the best part about this is? It's something all of us can do. It's not something that's saved for a Bonnie Lazarus or a John Neurider or a Juanita. It's something all of us can do. You want to lead an impactful life, it starts with being a devoted prayer. Prayer. Pray, pray, pray. Just be a prayer warrior. Let's just say that. You know, people who have their prayers answered and have great testimonies of God's greatness are people who make the habit of asking often. Because they do it. Devotion of prayer means you don't give up. You make a request, you listen, you journal, you request again, you read about the God of the scriptures, how he operates, you build your faith, you ask him again. If you want to be a father who impacts his children, you pray for your children. Part of the reason that some of our prayers seem to fail is because we are only partly invested in it. It's not something that we are. It's not something that we do all of the time. We just sort of, you know, throw it up there. We don't pray with fervor. We don't pray with expectation. Now, this isn't to say that if you're only semi-regular, God's going to say no. But the people who really get things done in the kingdom are people who are devoted to prayer, and they say, I'm giving it to God because I got no other choice. And really, he's the only one who does anything anyway. Those who ask, receive. Those who seek, find. The Bible says it. So that's right from Jesus. The next word. Devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind. That's a word that stands out. What word is that? Who said it? Someone say it. What's that word?
Alert.
Devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind. And I think that's an significant word because, and I think it's one thing that keeps our prayers from having impact. Because most of the time we pray general prayers. Well, you know, I prayed for the government, which is fine, and we're supposed to do that. But, you know, it as a part of being alert, we pray specifically for things that are actually going on in our government, things that are going on behind the scenes. We pray for marriages, and we pray for marriages, but maybe there's something specific that we need to pray for within marriage. Alert mind, active. You know, and I was thinking about it as I read different commentators, and what seems to come out of this verse is that most of our prayers are just sort of these lifelines that we toss out willy-nilly without much thought or understanding. We pray for a government, but are we praying? What are you praying for? Are you praying for a change in leadership? Are you praying about the things that they're discussing? Are you praying for our prime minister? Are you praying for the opposition? Are you praying for an election? Do you know what I mean? Like, when we start talking this way, you start going, okay, well, what am I actually praying for? Because it's when you start to detail what you're looking for is when you can tell when your prayers are actually being answered or not. Do we know what's even on the agenda when you start praying for the government? That's a good question. Or what about marriages? If we know someone in our church is struggling, do we know how to pray for them exactly? Or do we just pray for marriages? Which is, again, totally okay. But impactful prayers are ones where you get down to the nitty-gritty and you pray for something specifically. You see, sometimes it's like, you know, in archery, you go out there and you start throwing arrows all over the place. You might hit the target once, but it's when you actually focus on the target, you go, that's what I want to hit, and you put yourself in direction, and you point towards that, and you take aim, and then you hit it, and you can tell that that's exactly what you wanted to have happen. Focusing on generalities and being asleep, our minds should be engaged in prayer. What is it that I'm actually looking for? You know, we know all of us are in a battle. And you can't just spray bullet prayers. Sometimes you have to know where the enemy is attacking and actually go at the enemy, rather than just sort of hoping and praying. You know, there's a faith pastor who, he had an altar call at the end of one of his meetings, and a football player comes up to the front of the church, and the faith healer says, How can I pray for you? And he says, I'd like you to pray for my hearing. So the healer grabs him by the ear and starts praying, heaven come down. He prays for a release of healing. He anoints the man's ear. He starts screaming at the top of his lungs for 5 minutes. After he finishes, he says, how's your hearing? The player says, my hearing's fine. I'm just asking you to pray for help in my court hearing next week. But you see, you pray the right things. You pray specifically. And that's when you start to get the answers that you're looking for. We need to have active minds and go, okay, when this guy says, I'd like you to pray for my healing, say, well, what specifically are you looking for? When someone says, I need prayer for this, you ask for clarification, you ask for details, not for rumor mongering, not just so that you like to know, but so that you can pray specifically. Also, don't be Canadian. Don't be Canadian. Do you know how, you know, we are so polite. We're so nice. We like to tiptoe around the things and not ask. And, you know, sometimes we have to get bold before the Lord and say what it is that's on our mind. Don't be afraid to speak up before the Lord. Be unapologetically bold before God. Yes, respectful. Yes, yes, yes. But, you know, sometimes, you know, sometimes you're like, well, God, I could just, God, you know, things are a little hard right now. You know, groceries are going up and, you know, like, costs a lot of money to fill up my car. You know, God. So, like, if you could, you know, do something. How about you go, God, I need a raise. Or God, I need help. Or God, I need finances. Or whatever it is, instead of these little tiny, you know, sort of. You know, it's like if you had cancer, you say, God, I want you to eradicate that cancer out of my bones. You don't just go, oh God, if you could just give me a little touch, it would be really nice. You say, God, I want that cancer and I want it gone in Jesus' name. See, sometimes we are so Canadian. We're so polite. And God's just like, what do you really want? Come to me. Juanita said it. If we who are earthly know how to give good gifts to our children, what about God who is able to give good gifts to his? All right, let's keep going. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. We've talked together a lot about being thankful, and every sermon is an ode to thankfulness. But what I see here is prayers need to be thankful. Start with praise. Our prayers should be heavy on the thank you, God. Now, this isn't about buttering God up. It's not like when I come home and I go, Naomi, that forerunner's there. Our neighbor's forerunner there, and it's so pretty. Actually, it hasn't been there for like 4 weeks now. So that's probably why I haven't talked to you about it. But you know, it's not about buttering somebody up. I don't go home and go, Naomi, you're so beautiful. That forerunner's nice too. But what Paul says, he says, your prayer should be, you should be devoted to prayer, you should be alert, and you should also be thankful. Most of the time, my prayers look a little bit like complaints. Like, God, I'm not happy about this, I don't like that, this is bad, But when we come to God, and we say, oh, sometimes we just need to say, hey, God, thanks. Thank you for everything. Because it can actually start to frame your conversations with him. Thank you for the blessings that you've given him. And you know, sometimes that just is enough to change your heart. Because sometimes you go to God and you got an idea of what you want to ask for. And then you give God thanks for everything that he's done. And it changes your heart. It changes your perspective so that instead of asking for the wrong thing and complaining about the bad things, you focus on the good things. It changes your minds. We don't grovel, we thank God. Let's keep going here. We're almost there. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. The greatest impact we can have is when we take our minds off of ourselves and think of others. There are more important realities at work than we sometimes realize. An outward-focused mindset. Seeing beyond ourselves. A lot of our prayer is self-centered. And selfish, and it's not always wrong. You know, we often don't see beyond ourselves sometimes, and that's okay. But what I think sometimes is that it's important for us to look outside. Because Paul says, pray for us. Pray for fruitful ministry. He says, pray for clarity in teaching and reaching. You're not the only ones with troubles and needs. To think beyond yourself. There are people who always need help in prayer. When the church prays for their pastors and their leaders and missionaries, it's a powerful thing. We pray for Darcy and Leanne McAllister. They're serving with the Zoe Network and they're serving out overseas. We pray for them because we want their ministry to be fruitful. We pray for the bowlers who are out in Africa. And they're doing just an amazing job. Their son just got married a couple of weeks ago. And they're serving. And we got Diddy in Haiti. Important for us to look outside of our own situations. Because those are impactful prayers when you start praying for the people God has raised up. Those who are on the front lines of faith. Pray for our church. To navigate the needs of in this town and open doors of ministry. You know what's so interesting about this passage? Paul's saying, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind, a thankful heart, and pray for us too as we do the work of ministry. You know what he doesn't ask for? To be released from prison. What would we be praying for? We'd be like, hey, hey, I'd like these chains off. But Paul's like, you know what? Pray for us that our ministry be fruitful. Pray for my teammates. Pray for my gospel bearers. He's not asking for the doors of the prison to be open. He's open for more doors of ministry to open up. What an outward, that's backwards. But that's how Paul thinks, because he goes, like, Jesus is doing a work in me. He's done a work in me. He's continuing to do the work in me. And I want to see God, Jesus do that work in you. I want to see that continue. Anyway, our prayers. Remember, what did Jesus say? He says, the fields are ripe unto harvest, but the workers are
few.
And he asks us to pray to the Lord of the harvest to bring up more workers. You want to impact this world. You want to pray planet-shaking prayers. Ask God to raise up people who are faithful to join us in the battle. Great impact happens when we think beyond ourselves. Continue on here. Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. These verses are the culmination of almost everything we've talked to or about for 4 weeks. Because of the notable difference that Jesus makes in us, it should reach into the world that we live in. We should breathe Christ into our marriages, our families, the places we reside, our workplaces. We can make a great impact through our prayer life, and yet also through the way that we live. We should live wisely. We take the teachings of Jesus and we follow them. Our approach to life must be different from the way that people live out there. Our lives should be seasoned with salt and show the way to Jesus. Make the most of every opportunity. Every time we are out there, we are on call. People see us and they make interesting judgments about us sometimes. We are given opportunities to speak life and actually be ministers on the Lord's behalf. It's so important that we're innocent as doves and shrewd as serpents. The world watches us, and they are so happy to air our dirty laundry. Our actions should bring people closer to God, not send them further away. There's a pastor who lived in the suburb of London, and he pastored a church in the downtown area. He held an office in the church, so he traveled back and forth between the church and his home on the suburbs. One Sunday morning, he preached about honesty. On Monday, following his usual return, he got on a bus to go to the office. Since he didn't have the right change, he handed the bill to the bus driver. The bus driver gave him his change, and the pastor put it in his pocket. While traveling along, he counted the change and discovered the driver had given him too much money. His first reaction was to think how wonderful it was for God to provide extra food and money for him. However, he soon realized this was not honest. And so as he got off the bus, he admitted that the driver made a mistake and had given him too much money. The driver said, "No, I didn't make a mistake. I heard your message on honesty at your church yesterday and decided to test you out." Ooh, we can make a great impact when our lives match our words. Finally, it says, let your speech be gracious and attractive so that you have a right response to everyone. There's so much going on here, so much that could be said, but I'll focus on something big, and that's the tongue. Control it and use it well. It can be a gift and a tremendous curse. Our words and our tone can have a massive impact on people. Sometimes the things we say aren't the most meaningful or helpful, and that's maybe putting it mildly. But Paul wants us to always speak well, to use everything within us to have an impact in our world. We don't want to turn people off from the gospel by the way that we live our lives. One of the statements I've been saying the last couple of weeks is we want Jesus to bubble out of you. We want Jesus to bubble out of your actions. We want Jesus to bubble out of your prayers. And we also want Jesus to bubble out of your conversations so that people can hear and know that God is good. If you want to have a great impact, if you want to be a Frodo Baggins, be devoted to prayer. Be somebody who prays. Anybody can do that. Be thankful in prayer. Be thankful for everything that you have. Be a gracious prayer. Pray for everyone. And also live properly. Just let Jesus out of you. Let him roam. Who knows what will happen if you just start to let Christ go? Can you imagine? You don't have to be a hero. But you can make a difference when you walk this way. Let us pray. God,